Gospel distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Wilmy with faith building messages for the end time. Stay tuned and be blessed.
King David, through whom the Messiah came. God said the big picture. We don't know about that, but God has a plan for that woman. What about Ruth? Looked like by chance, how we just follow more Naomi. She became the great-grandmother of King David. God said the big picture. That is, this big puzzle that you are just a microscopic part of it is dragging you through the mud into your place. Dragging that woman from Moab into her place. Dragging that man from there into his place. Dragging Joseph through the mud into prime minister. He needed to be prime minister to save them. So God had that big picture in plan. But those are the heroes. What about this boy that did bad? Say God. What about Jacob, Ephraim, all of these other ones, Simeon? They were bad guys. You know, God said, no, they were part of the picture. They were part of the big picture. Amen? So the man that you couldn't forgive, that friend of yours that you couldn't forgive, that hurt you, he is part of the big picture of God. Amen? You may say, well, man, his own picture is just to make me mad and to make me run to God. Well, maybe that's part of his picture. Amen? But he's still fulfilling a purpose. And that is what the Lord is trying to make me to see here. That is, although every human being, you and I, whatever is your situation, whatever is your problem, wherever you find yourself, you are part of the big picture of God. And if you are part of it, then you better obey the word of God. And one of the word of God is this. He said, we must forgive one another. Amen? Let's see how the Lord Jesus Christ said it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Because that is the sermon, the real sermon today. For the big picture part, kind of make you wonder what God is talking about here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. I will read from verse 15. Now, these are the teachings of the Lord Jesus himself. So we need to take very serious, pay serious attention to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, if Judah was part of the big picture, just like Joseph was part of the big picture, he's got to forgive Judah and forgive all the other boys because God has them in his plan just as well. Part of the plan is that they should do that bad stuff to Joseph. Remember that? In the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, now talking about forgiveness, God made that forgiveness very, very important. Here is Matthew chapter 18. I will read. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And he went on. Verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Amen. And then he gave us a parable. I know many of us know this parable, so but I'm going to read it because it's laying a foundation. He said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which will take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had of pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now listen to verse 35. This is very important. The Lord Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now, you know that I don't want to be delivered to the tormentors. So the Lord is saying, be careful that you forgive so that your Father can forgive you also. So that is one thing, but you see, what is this forgiveness? How is it important? This is the basis of Christianity. Amen? Forgiving one another is the basis of the Christian life. I'm going to give another. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. I want you to take very serious note of this chapter 11 of Mark, because the Lord linked forgiving one another to these supernatural miracles, prayers that you wanted to ask God to do something. You wanted to be able to ask and you shall receive. As he promised here, this is very important for you to think, to see why will the Lord link these two together. Mark chapter 11. From verse 23 is what I'm going to read. Now, you remember this story. This was after the Lord Jesus Christ has just caused a fig tree, and the fig tree dried. The second day they were coming back, and Peter said, Master, see that fig tree that you caused yesterday, it's dried up. And the Lord said, have faith in God. And I was going to teach us faith. Christ was going to teach us faith. So this is a lesson on faith. But look, he linked that with forgiveness. Let's see. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, now he didn't say whosoever Christians, he didn't say whosoever holy righteous people, he just say whosoever. So think about that. Whosoever, does that mean if even when I was not a Christian, that still applied to me? Yes. Now look at it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now it's not finished yet. He said, and so you know that's the conjunction, it's continuation of what he is saying. And so you can't say, well, you know, sometimes we think of the Bible verses, say, whoa, whoa, you said this one some time ago, these reporters must have mixed the two together. No, this was continuation. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Say, well, why will he link forgiveness to this supernatural power, miracle power, faith? He's saying something there, because when you are saying faith, you are saying God should do something for you. God should act on your behalf. God should move supernaturally for you. And he's saying, this God that you want him to move supernaturally for you says, if you don't forgive somebody that he died for, you don't forgive. And you say, well, he only died for Christians, so I must forgive all Christians. Say, he died for the whole world. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. He died for you that have not known Christ. So if you don't forgive that fellow, say, he may not forgive you. So that, and he may not even act. You say, well, he has already forgiven you, of course. You say, well, I'm already forgiven. How can you all do me? My God cannot forgive me. But he's saying he won't act on your behalf. That's what it means. There was a story here that somebody put in his magazine. It was Kenneth Hagin Senior. You could have had me quoted him again. He gave this story of when he was preaching about, and there was a woman, maybe that woman actually was another minister or pastor or preacher or preachers that had a daughter that was bedridden for many years. And she said, and this Kenneth Hagin said he was in this city, and the woman came and talked about this daughter of her, that she needed prayer for this daughter since this daughter had been bedridden for years. And this is a faith-believing woman. She has been praying. She has prayed, and people have prayed for, and this daughter is still bedridden. Can I take it there? When he was there, and the Lord showed something to him, that tell this woman that she has an unforgiving spirit. And this is a minister, that a woman that was almost like a minister or minister's wife, something like that. So she has an unforgiving spirit, that she hated her mother-in-law, something like that. That she has to forgive her mother-in-law and then pray over that child. And but I read it in the book of Kenneth Hagin Senior, his pastor. And Kenneth Hagin, he told this woman that this is what the Lord said. You have problem, you hated your mother-in-law, and that was one of the reasons why this situation has been prolonging this long. That release it, forgive your mother-in-law, and then declare. And that woman stood up quickly and said she forgave her mother-in-law, whatever long time thing that she did. She forgave her and said, now confess to this, your daughter, that Satan, leave my daughter alone. I walk in love now. And according to the story that I read, that woman confessed that she walks in love now. Satan, leave my daughter, my daughter alone. And the daughter was healed. I said, wait a minute. That was an example. And when I read that, I said, God is telling, can I take in something, and all of us something about that. What do you think made that problem to be prolonged? It's not because the mother-in-law was the one causing the trouble. No, it's not the mother-in-law, because in the African mindset, if somebody told you that your mother-in-law, you didn't forgive him, you think, well, maybe my mother-in-law is the one doing witchcraft against that daughter. No, that's not the issue. The issue is we are asking God to do something, and God is not going to do it unless we walk the way he wants us to walk, because we want God to say, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, then you will ask him, ask Jesus, what you will, and he will do it for you. So if God is not doing it for you, it's because you are not walking in his way. You are not abiding in Christ. So that is what the story is telling us. That woman that is faith-believing woman will not forgive. Because of unforgiveness, God was not acting on her behalf. So you can see why forgiveness is linked here in chapter 2, Mark chapter 11. Verse 23, Christ said, you want to command this mountain to move and be cast into the sea. Say, yes, it will obey you. And if you want God to do that, you better do this for God. So that's what God is saying. It's linking forgiveness with supernatural faith. Amen. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. Ought. He didn't say, well, if you, not the way, that man killed my daughter. He will say, ought. No matter how small art, not the big ones or not the small ones, where, this one is big, I can't forgive this one. Say, if you are out, even the smallest one, you must forgive so that the Father can answer your prayer. Amen? I hope you are understanding this. It's going to be a sober message, especially as I begin to bring it, if you search in your heart, because God is shining your light into you now. Search your heart. You have not been walking in that love. You have not been walking in that forgiveness, which is the base for Christianity. Someone say, well, if I don't forgive, that's something I'm not going to heaven, because I'm already forgiven by Christ. Yeah, but will your prayers be effective? The faith you wanted to get, will you get it? The power you want to muster the power of God, will he muster his power for you when you are not walking the way he wants you to walk? So that is why he's linking prayer with forgiving. If you go back to the story in Luke chapter 11, when Christ, or Matthew chapter 6, when Christ was teaching us how to pray, he said, after you ask, give us this day our daily bread. What's the next verse? And forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. So God is always linking you asking him something with you forgiving the next person. Amen? So that is what the Lord is saying here. And the faith, the life of Christianity that he has presented to us, dictates that point blank. It dictates it. The example the Lord Jesus Christ laid down for us demonstrated it. On the cross, the people were nailing him to the cross. How can they be nailing you to the cross and you are saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or you say, well, he was just acting. Do you think he was just acting? Or he was actually forgiving them? Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So the Lord wants us to forgive, not just act, but really forgive from your heart. It's going to be the determining factor of where do you stand with Christ. It reminded me of a story again. Many of us may have heard the story. One of our brethren here in one of these night vigils gave this testimony of somebody in Nigeria, a pastor. Remember, maybe many of you can remember the story. A pastor that had a problem with his wife sometime in Nigeria. And for that purpose, his wife was so mad and slapped this pastor. Looked like never happened, never should have been done. And the pastor couldn't forgive this woman. And the woman apologized and asked forgiveness. And the pastor couldn't forgive. Or maybe it was just a preacher. And one of those days, while he was still having that bitterness, this man, this pastor, had an accident and fell into a coma or almost died and found himself, it was when he came back, he was giving the testimony, according to the story. He found himself before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord took him to heaven and then took him to the top of hell. And he saw hell and he said, gee, this is a bad place. He said, well, let's get out of here. And the Lord said, wait a minute here. As the way you are, and this was a preacher, a pastor, a minister of the gospel. So the way you are right now, this is where you belong, hell. You can't come over to this side. I just show you that place. But this is where you belong. Because of what? Because he had bitterness against his wife that had been asking for forgiveness for the past many months, and he just couldn't. So, but he said, I'm going to send you back so that you make amendments. That was the purpose. God said, I will send you back so that you won't come out. Because if you are to come right now, this is where you belong. You don't belong to this side, where there is no darkness at all. The Bible said, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Unforgiveness is darkness. It's darkness. So that brother came back to life, and then he gave that testimony, and he quickly forgave his wife. So remember that. If God says unforgiveness is a sin, it's a darkness. No darkness at all in that place where we want to go. In fact, there was a vision I was relating some time ago where believers were getting to this gate of heaven and they couldn't go in. It was all light. It was like a cloud of light. And somehow, all of them were running back. And then the place was getting more. People were getting to the gate. They couldn't go in. And they were saying there's an angel there trying to send them back. And then somebody said, wait, the Lord is coming to talk to us. I was like an observer in this vision. I was like an observer standing on a post here looking at the whole episode. Say, wait, the Lord is coming to talk to us. And the Lord came like a wind from this city where they are trying to go in and they couldn't go through the gate. And the Lord came and laughed at them and said, didn't I tell you to walk in love? That was the whole episode, that you are to love one another. Didn't I tell you to love one another? So what is this love? That bitterness and forgiveness. It's a sin, it's a darkness that won't let you in. And like I said in the big picture, remember, Joseph gave an example that he forgave his brothers. No, because they are part of the big picture of God. And if you want that place where there is no darkness at all, you better clean yourself of the darkness that is right here in this world. And that's what the Lord is telling us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Open with me, 1 John, the Epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 20, as I wrap up this message. First John, chapter 4, verse 20, here it says, if a man say, I love God, and hated his brother. Now, is a liar. Let's say it together. Let's just read that Bible verse together. Everybody. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not him, not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen. Now, let me read verse 21 again. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Amen? The Lord is giving us this. That is the basis of Christian lifestyle, love. And his part of it is forgiving one another. And let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Let's say it again together. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen? The Lord meant business with all of these simple verses. They look like very simple. Look like these are principles. But you see, that is the foundation of relationship, even in your household. For a husband and wife to live together and be in harmony, this is the principle. Forgiveness. And is the principle for Christianity. If you are not obeying that simple precept, you actually should check yourself whether you are actually following Christ. Because it could be rougher than just grudges. Because the Bible says, do not hold grudge. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, you can write that one down. But it could be rougher. Because here is an example of when it turns rough for Christians. And God still expects you to forgive when it turns rough for Christians. Let's look at the stories in Acts of the Apostles chapter 7, showing to us what God expects when we say we follow him. Acts of the Apostles chapter 7, verse 59. Here is the story of when Stephen, the first martyr among the Christians, was stoned to death. Verse 59 says, and they stoned Stephen for preaching the gospel. And he was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We all know the story of this Stephen, how the Lord is showing us by example we may be persecuted, we may be stoned for being believers. Look like, well, in America it will never happen. It can happen. It's going to happen. It may not be stolen. It may be something worse. They may begin to seize houses. To preach the gospel may become like not fun at all. But the Bible said you are to forgive those that are doing that to us. So that becomes rough, not so. How much more when it's not even that rough? So God is saying we should forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. And that is where we're going to wrap up this message. Leviticus chapter 19, let me read that. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And we are going to stand up together and pray for one another. Because the Lord wants us to remember the big picture. Amen. Remember that fellow that you have grudges against is part of the big plan of God. No matter who he says, well, he's an unbeliever, he's still part of the big plan of God. And then you have to forgive him if you know that you want the Lord to answer your prayers. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. It's one of the precepts of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Here it says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You wonder why the Lord put that part of it, I am the Lord, after giving you that instruction? It's telling you to know that fear me. But it's actually saying fear me. So you are dealing with God when you are talking about this. Because Christ came back and explained it clearer to us that if you don't forgive, the Father in heaven will not forgive. Which means we have to fear God. For God's sake, do this part. Amen. For God's sake, do this part. Amen. It reminded me of something I just listened to a pastor on TV yesterday or some days ago. He said, you know all these other sins, that thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder. He said, those are all things. Actually, if you do any of those, you are sinning against yourself or against the other person. But there are some sins you sin directly against God. One of them is unbelief. If you don't believe him, you are slapping his face, kind of. So this kind of thing, he said, I am the Lord, saying, fear me. That's why I want you to do this. Amen. So we need to know that forgiveness is the basis of Christianity. And for you to live in harmony one with another, for me to live in harmony one with another, we need to let this be part of our principles. And we're going to stand up right now and confess to the Lord. Let's stand up on our feet. We want to stand up on our feet. Search your heart now. If you have any grudges against any person, like Christ said, if you have aught against your brother, he said, even if you bring your sacrifice to the altar and there you remember that you have aught against your brother, he said, leave that sacrifice, don't offer it to me. He said, go back and for settle it with your brother, then come back and offer your sacrifice. That is how important it is to God when he said, anything that we are doing that is like grudges or unforgiveness, and we need to, that's why I say, let's stand up and confess our sins. Any, just confess, just talk to the Lord, search your heart and say, hey, you know, Lord, there's somebody that hurt me a long time ago. I've been holding it. I want to release it to you now, Lord. Every one of us. Don't say, well, they have nobody. I'm clean. If you are clean, then pray for the next person that is not, that is having hurt against somebody. And let's just lift up our voice to the Lord right now and ask him. Talk to the Lord yourself. Talk to him yourself. Somebody will come to your mind. Some office workers, some past employers, somebody that did something to you that you know he was the one that made me lose that job. Forgive him from your heart. Somebody, your spouse, that was angry at you and you look like, why in the world did I marry this one? You want to forgive because it's forgiveness, it's only forgiveness that can make you live together. Somebody that make you stumble on the field, and when you guys are playing field, you know, soccer, football, any of those things, look like your competitor, and it's becoming bitterness. Forgive. Tell the Lord, and say, Lord, remove anything that is called hatred from my heart, bitterness from my heart. I forgive everybody. Just tell him. If somebody's face came to your heart, you know, just come to your heart, to your mind, just mention that fellow's face and say, Lord, I forgive him, or I forgive her, so that the Lord can forgive you too, so that you can, your prayer can be effective, and then God can answer you. And if you need some deliverance, I want you to come forward. Because some people, they have a stronghold, something they have been holding for years, they just couldn't let loose. Come forward, let's break that. We need to break some things like that. Because sometimes it is deliverance we need rather than just asking. So as you pray, just talk to the Lord. You talk to the Lord yourself. It's just a simple thing. Yeah, Lord, this fellow, if you can release it, just release it to the Lord. So I release it. But if you know that I just need deliverance. This has been going on. I try to forgive him, it comes back. I try to forgive her, it comes back. Do you need deliverance? Come over, let's pray for you.
Now, this is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.